You are listening to a Need10 Media podcast production.
Jayhawks on the move, non-pregame edition, as we will hit the road. BCLUW coming up on Friday. Hit the road. That's probably about an hour-ish bus ride, something like that. Yep. So we'll head that way. And there's been some success against BCLUW here last year especially, and you're looking through the series history. But let's rewind. MFL Marmac coming in this last Friday. And it was a night, I think, at least from my perspective, that I didn't expect it to go as it did, the way offense and defensive looked. 35-6 was the final, running clock at one point. But talk about the game plan going in and adjustments you had to make as you evolved.
Game plan going in was we knew they were going to be a heavy run team, very similar to what we saw the previous year when we played them. And like you alluded to, we've had some success with against them in years past. I know a couple years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, we were on the other side of it, where every time we'd play MFL, it'd be running clock. And hats off to MFL; they have a great squad. They're more juniors and seniors. They have a system that they've been running for a while, and they can run it very well too. And we came out and we had a game plan, and we made some adjustments, and we did some better things in our eyes in the second half. But it wasn't enough to...
Was there some things you saw in that game that you hadn't seen on tape from the previous two games they played?
I would say no. What we thought we saw, and, you know, they were just better than us up front. They could run their system. Perfect example, I think Army and Michigan played a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, Michigan, this great Big Ten team, and you got Army who runs the triple option, and Army, who's maybe undersized and doesn't get the recruits or the star power that Michigan has, and they hung right with them until the end of the game. And
right. That
offense,
well, and they shot themselves in the foot too.
Exactly, and that offense is just so tricky because you know you're only going to get a handful of possessions, and the clock's, you know, I think it only took 20 minutes and the first quarter was already over, which traditionally is a very quick quarter in high school football, in my experience.
Well, you look at the play of what you guys had anyway. You know, it wasn't bad at all. You know, Jace Pilcher had a great night, you know, at quarterback, but he, you know, had a little more pressure than he'd been used to.
Right. So they, especially when you're up, you know, they're up 18.5, you have the ability to kind of tee off, do some things that throw some other things that maybe you haven't seen traditionally when another game film, when they're playing teams a little bit more competitively. But, you know, there's some stuff that we're executing on. Jace Pilcher has, you know, completed 20 passes. Jace and offense completed 20 passes. The week before is 21, which are in-game records for us here at Jessup. You know, offensively up front, that young group of guys is gelling together. And, you know, we still have a lot of learning. We still have a lot of learning to do on both sides of the ball. And people ask me after the game, you know, how do you feel? You know, everyone wants to know how the CEO is feeling, chief energy officer. And a lot of us just had a feeling that what we came out and how we performed tonight was not the best representation of our football team.
Yeah, you look at across the board, yeah, there was a lot of contributors through there. You know, Brody Kresser had a great night too, both sides of the ball.
Brody Kresser finished with 15 tackles, 17.5 with assists, 5 assists, so we divide that in half, so it'd be 2.5 or 17.5 for all you math people out there. And that puts him right in the top 2 or 3 of most solo tackles in the game and actual tackles in a game as well. So our experience is showing in our secondary with our guys coming up and playing the run, which is awesome, and being able to attack. And just to keep being our focus, especially any time in high school football, is take away the run.
So knock on wood, everybody seems pretty healthy going into this week.
Everyone seems pretty healthy. You know, we've been talking to the guys. This is practice 22 is going to be today. And, you know, it's we're at almost 6 weeks. I mean, seven weeks plus camp, voluntary camp and then their actual camp. And then we're only week four of the season.
Yeah.
And you're going to have some guys that are dinged up and you're going to have some guys that are feeling kind of blah. But it's our job as coaches to, you know, look at our data, look at our running data that we have. We test our kids out in sprints every Monday and Thursday and see where our numbers at from the from when we started the season, and what can we do to keep our kids fresh.
So we talked a little bit about this before we hit the record button. You look at second year as a head coach, chief energy officer, it's something you're always. It doesn't matter where you're at or what you're doing. You got people in your ear suggesting plays and how you do things right. Like that. You know, what's your style in taking that information in and what you do with it? I'm sure you get the same thing as teaching too. It doesn't matter what it is. You're always going to have that input in your ear, genuine or ingenuine.
Right. And I think the big thing it comes down to is what type of leadership style do you possess? When I was in high school, I was more of a lead by example, and I would just kind of do what I thought was right. And people would, talk to me, but I was like, I'm going to do it this way because this is what I believe in. When I was in high school, I was more of an individual when I was in college, I was more very emotional and kind of hard on my sleeve and Mr. Hype guy. And where I'm at in my life and with coaching and teaching is I'm more of collaborative. I like to hear what other people see, what's on their mind. What do you see? What do you think? I'm never gonna tell someone, I don't want to hear it from you. Okay. So I like to listen. I like to see. I like to bounce different ideas because I don't know everything. And I think if I would come off and say I know everything, I'd seem pretty smug, and that's not a representation of who I am, nor is it a representation of what we want our kids to be like. In school or our athletes that we have in our athletic program.
Well, you get all that input and how you take that process. You have to have a process of you're collecting everything, and it can be, depending on a winning season or losing effort or whatever it happens to be, you're going to get more one way or the other. How do you balance all that out with all that input that's coming in? How do you analyze that data to see how the Jayhawks should use it?
It's one thing where I usually have some type of piece of paper or a notebook where during practice, I'm always writing stuff down. Hey, it's this that I don't like. Hey, it's this I do like. And a big way to process it is I have all my notes from all my practices, and throughout the week, I'll go through and say, this is what so-and-so said. This is what so-and-so said. And there's things that people say that, hey, this is, someone from the stands that said this, okay, they don't see what we do during practice. And there's people at practice that say something's like, well, they understand more of what we're trying to accomplish. So I don't want to say that you listen to more people than others, but people who understand our process and what we're trying to do, usually there's more weight that gets carried with what they say.
Yeah, I suppose if you're looking business, like you talk about CEO, but you've got your mission and you got your objective and your culture. I suppose you have to share that with them too and see how that fits into that, because you want those guys to rally behind what your mission is trying to accomplish, not just winning a football game.
Right. If I just go out there and say this is what we're going to do and nobody buys into it, from the adults all the way down to our middle school kids, then what are we doing here? Then it's just someone who's talking to hear themselves talk, and we're not getting anything accomplished. So if there's something that a staff member brings up that thinks that can put our kids in a better position throughout the week and make them the best individual possible, best version of themselves, well, I got to hear it out or we're cheating our kids.
So, Jessup, we have thunderstorms approaching, so you might hear that thunder in the background. I thought this would push off till later tonight, but how does this affect your practice this afternoon? You get some thunderbolts and lightning and very, very frightening.
There's this thing called the Jessup bubble. I don't know if anyone's aware of this. My Coach Miller, who's new to our staff this year, we were outside one time at practice, and, hey, it looks like we're going to get rained on. And about two or three of our coaches turned to him and said, you don't know about the Jessup bubble, do you? And it seems like everything just starts dividing when it gets just off of exit 240 by the Dunkerton exit. So we might be getting a little rain here, but I don't know. I think we'll see if the Jessup bubble stays true, and we can come out here and be able to get some valuable practice reps tonight.
Yeah, there's an odd thing. It's, especially when they say north of Highway 20, south of Highway 20. I live 3/4 mile south of Highway 20, and there's times I will drive over 20 and it's raining, or vice versa,
yep.
And then you go back. So we're not meteorologists. I did take a class at Iowa State in meteorology, but I got through it.
Would that be like – you weren't doing this, would you?
Well, I took it because I was on the radio, I guess. I feel like I should have some knowledge of weather since you have to read weather reports. Tornado warnings or severe warnings would come on. You have to talk about it. You know, you can only talk about the dark red bubble that's approaching your town so much. You should probably have some idea of what that actually means.
Right. Interesting.
So there's a little tidbit for you. I've been thinking about your question last week.
Yeah. What's your answer?
So do you want to, if you missed it last week, the question was?
The question was if you could pick an actor to play you in a documentary of your life, who would it be? And it doesn't have to be just someone who you
think. Is it a documentary or is it a feature film?
Oh, okay.
About your life.
Let's say feature film.
I had somebody tell me PJ Fleck, but he's not an actor.
He's a character, though. I'll tell you what.
So they see similarities with me. I'm thinking maybe I get my Minnesota gear and I could go as him as for Halloween. But
you
I thought
you have some Minnesota gear.
No, I bet you do, but I bet it doesn't fit me.
No, I don't. I don't have anything row the boat. I would, though. I would like a row the boat flag so I can put it in my garage.
Okay.
But not that, like, I want anyone to give me anything. But, I don't own anything Minnesota.
I think I'd actually have to put the blade on my head, though, and shave it completely off.
I do a
no guard, but actually get the blade out.
I have a straight edge razor at home. That's how I keep this beard looking fresh. So if you want me to, I can go, like, Serrano style from Major League.
Might be a future episode. Or Jimmy Fallon is what I maybe come up with. Hair is different color, but, you know, personality-wise, he'd have to shave his head a little bit.
Okay, Jimmy Fallon.
I thought that would be maybe a good match. But he's – I was trying to think of somebody who can have a sense of humor but still looks like they're overly serious.
That would be so interesting. Can you imagine Jimmy Fallon and a fat Chris Pratt in the car doing Jayhawks in the movie?
You know, hindsight, when you said that, I was like – Chris Pratt, I'm not sure about that.
You don't think so?
You're not as goofy as Chris Pratt.
Okay, so then...
Maybe you think you are.
Good point. So, if you say that, then who's the actor then? You can't just say that with another idea.
Can't? That's what people do. They give you ideas without any, you know, sort of telling you did something wrong and then tell you, you know, how you can fix it. Aren't you used to that?
It's...
Based on the conversation we just had?
No, people want to talk and tell you what's up, and it is what it is. But but fair enough. Okay, if you don't have another...
I don't. I have to think about it again. I was thinking earlier, I'm having this debate with my son because he thinks when he gets to be driving age, he's going to get this truck. And then once I stop laughing, we get in a debate, and I was thinking, what was your first ride? What was the first Tim Sauer set of wheels?
I'm trying to think back. Like, the first thing I drove to school, I think it was...
That you had the keys to. You can go out and take off. You didn't have to ask Mama Sauer if you can leave or not. Something.
So that might have been when I was in college.
Well, you still were at that point. Candy, come on. We got to cut the cord a little earlier.
Hey, she's coming for you now. Just settle down.
I know. She's become quite a groupie.
She is.
For me.
She is a nice lady, and she likes...
If she shows up in the press box with a Nate Clayburgh t-shirt on, and my head is on it, I'm not sure what will happen from
there. That would be interesting.
As long as she has cookies, maybe.
Cookies? I'll sell that to her.
But anyway, let's maybe I gave you too many parameters. What was your first... What was Tim's first car?
My first car that I drove around in college, and my parents said, here's the keys to. It was my first car here. I had a Jessup, a 2001 Hyundai Sonata, blue. It was like a royal blue. And
so back home, you didn't have your own set of wheels. You were...
No, it was kind of...
Sharing family cars.
Right, so we had like a... it was a 1990 Aerostar was one of our vehicles.
Oh, I can see you in that.
Yeah, that's the van before the
van. Any kind of graphics on it?
Yeah, it was gray with teal blue on the bottom and then a royal blue on top, and it kind of like S'd out, like just from the tail to all the way to the front.
Two buckets and a bench in the back?
Yep.
Okay. I drove one at a radio station that I used to work at.
That's awesome. Actually, it was two benches.
Horrible in the winter, though.
Oh, yeah. big box.
Winters don't work.
It was two benches. It wasn't a bucket. So you could pack like eight people in there, three in the back, three in the middle, and then driver.
Okay. Okay. But the Hyundai Sonata was the first Tim car.
Yeah, that was – so I had to rip the –
I was going to say, did you sit in the back seat?
Yeah, like Hightower. I had to rip out the front, and then I'd buckle up, and that's because other than that, I'd be driving with my knees on my chest.
Hightower. Anybody get that reference? No. Police Academy. Yes. Too Tall Jones.
6'10", 6'11", okay. NFL football player.
I had a
turned actor.
I had a 96 celebrity. Coop.
Nice.
I think it was not. No, 86. 86 is what it was. So that's probably older than you.
Yeah, I'm a 90s child. 90, exactly.
So, yeah. Let me pull up to the handicap spot at the school.
Here's my question. So, we're in your truck right now.
Yeah.
Do you have a name for your truck?
I don't. I almost ran into Kevin. He looked. No, I don't have a name for it. I get the personalized plates, but...
That's true. Headset, that works.
Yeah. I don't have a name. Do you have a name for your vehicles? You got you got this big soccer mom van now.
Soccer mom van. The Swole Hawk Mobile. I used to name it, so like the movie Gone in 60 Seconds, you always name your cars after females, and that's kind of something we did. So like Nala was from Lion King was one of our cars' names. The Noel is my wife's car's name, the Equinox, I think. And then we used to have a red car. It was a Pontiac Grand Am. The name was Ruby. I don't know what we call the Buick. The 2005 Buick van. Open submissions to top names, and then
it looks like a Brenda or a
Brenda?
Gloria. Yeah. If your name is Brenda or Gloria, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's just you know, sometimes you just look at something, you're like, that's the name.
Yeah, it'll just come to you.
Okay.
So yeah, if we get like a vote and like enough people vote and say they like it, maybe that'll or auction off.
So what kind of radio did this Astro van have?
I have my Bluetooth speaker, and that's what I play music.
In the Astro van you did? Or not this one?
Oh, not. No, and the van I currently drive, that's what I do. In the Astro van, it was cassette tape and listen to 101.3. That was like 92.3.
What was your go-to cassette?
Oh,
so you still run a cassette generation?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
It was, they had like soundtrack to Space Jam.
Is Bugs Bunny singing that?
No.
He was in that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
With another guy.
Cool thing about Space Jam, look up the stats. Look up the stats of how everybody shot in the movie Space Jam. It is unique to see, like, nobody missed.
Oh, in the shots?
Yeah, like, no, like the, so like the box score. No, like the box score, you'll see, like, Bugs Bunny was 11 for 11. Michael Jordan was so-so. Fun fact for you.
I'm not sure if I've ever even seen the entire movie. Or at all.
That's like when Kyle Schultz told me that he's never seen Space Jam, and I looked at him and I'm like, you love basketball and you've never seen that? But we can...
Have you seen basketball, too?
I have. I mean, I don't... It's okay.
All right. Football. There's people that tune in for football and people that tune in for leadership and people that tune in for whatever it is we come up with. BCOEW, 0-3 on the year, head down to their place. They've had two home games already. Lost to Grundy Center, got zeroed out, 33-0 last week. They seem to have, some success in the air. Offensive, they've accumulated quite a few yards. Mm-hmm. Just maybe a hard time on actually converting and getting in the end zone.
You know, we've watched film on from BCOEW, and they did some. They moved the ball a little bit on Grundy, and they've done some nice stuff against East Marshall. And East Marshall is a nice little squad this year, and they can move the ball. And I think sometimes, just like we've had some we haven't been able to capitalize on some of our opportunities. And we've been doing some great stuff in the air and on the ground, and it just doesn't show up in the win and loss column.
Yeah, looking at their quarterback, Jesse Moore, Jr., he's got 102 passing yards, but he's carried it for 120 yards and four touchdowns.
Lefty.
Just have to watch him.
Yeah, he's a lefty. He's got some quick twitch, and that's something we got to be aware of this week is if contain breaks down, he's someone who'll run out, run out when he's out there.
And then you got Joe Mason, a senior in the backfield. He's, 64 attempts, 302 yards. Yeah, I guess it's that ground game, but you have to be ready for the passing game, too.
Right, exactly. And that's, that's been one of our philosophies. You got to stop the run, because if you can't stop the run in high school football, you're going to be playing catch-up all night.
So, as the game will get going, it's 7 o'clock on Friday, and I think Anthony found there's going to be a live stream that BCLEW has on YouTube or something.
Let me know, we can get it on our Jessup Football on Facebook, because there's a lot of people have been asking. So
Anthony's going to be on that. Right, Anthony? He showed me yesterday, so we'll share that on the Jessup Sports Network Facebook site. And then I will be down there as well, and we'll do, maybe we get time to do a quick pregame interview ahead of Friday and then see how things go, quick talk afterwards, and hopefully head into homecoming with a 2-2 record.
Hopefully. That's the plan.
Can you believe that? Next week is homecoming.
Yep, I know.
The question was, can you believe it? It wasn't a – that's a stupid question, Nate.
No, I never said a stupid question. It's always an eventful week.
Put a whole new dynamic to it.
Yes, sir. So,
all right, Raining and Jessup, everybody, have a great rest of your week. Go Jayhawks, and
– great day to be Jayhawk.
See you later.
This is a Need 10 Media production.
Taking a break from this episode to tell you about the Motivators Assessment. A few years back, when I made a big turn on my own career adventure, I was traveling through O'Hare Airport, and I discovered the book What Motivates Me from The Culture Works. I was drawn to it because at the time in my life, I was looking to find out how I can get more excitement in the work I was doing. It wasn't about my strengths or personality, but what kind of work gets me excited each day. Going through this assessment, it gives you a great report. I learned that my key motivators are problem solving, learning, and developing others. It does really fit me. Go to whatmotivates.me to see what motivates you.